Blog Talk Radio.
And now on Blog Talk, it's time for Rendezvous with Maggie, featuring Maggie DeVera. Maggie is a well-respected therapist with a successful practice in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she is also the founder and president of Realizing Our Youth as Leaders Incorporated, a nonprofit agency that prepares the most disadvantaged and at-risk youth for life and leadership. Maggie is also a licensed marriage family therapist, psychotherapist, clinical master hypnotherapist, sex expert, clinical supervisor, trainer, speaker, and consultant to musicians, fans, and actors. Maggie brings you expertise and advice on topics that impact each and every one of us in our everyday lives. Rendezvous with Maggie offers vital information that helps you understand yourself and others while providing skills and tools to optimize the experience of life's journey. And now, here is Maggie DeVera.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our, fifth show now on Rendezvous with Maggie. It has been definitely a journey and a very humbling and fulfilling journey to be doing this show with the connections that I've made and the feedback that I've made or that I've received. So thank you very much. I definitely hold dear the validating and empowering feedback that I've received, and knowing that many people have been able to get some stuff out of it, if not a lot. And I'm sorry if there are some things that I can say that's not as clear. I really have quite a bit of respect for talk show hosts and radio hosts, because to be able to say everything in the way that I want to say it, that is clear and organized, just is a work in progress. So if I say things that can seem confusing, always feel free to email me. I'll be happy to respond to you either back on air or in email form. So today is the 4th of June. We are officially into the middle of 2013. I cannot believe how fast life is going, but we're here. We're having a lot of sun. Well, today I don't see too much sun, but we have to count our blessings as much as possible, because days just pass very quickly. Anyway, so today we are doing our show on happiness. And actually, I wanted to do the show because I was very inspired while I was watching a documentary that actually is called Happy. And I was taking so many notes down, and, you know, I decided I think I'm going to be actually wanting to share this with as many people as possible. So I've created the show based on that inspiration, and I want to let you know that a lot of information I've received are the notes that I've taken from there, as well as my own experiences, and also as a professional and clinician, and just being connected to many people and hearing their stories. I do want to encourage people to call in if they have any questions or want to share their thoughts. There's tons of stuff that people can share regarding their thoughts or experiences or questions on happiness. I have several responses via my Facebook teaser on what happiness means to you and why. And so I've got quite a few responses that I want to share with everyone, just to show how things can vary. Because happiness is subjective, and that's the reality. Different things have different values, but there are some intrinsic parts of happiness that what can I say? That are actually coming from a more meaningful place. And I think in life we tend to get somewhat confused when we focus on certain materialistic aspects. But, you know, those things can make a difference as well. But we'll be talking about it more. I see a few people here on queue. I am going to just make sure that if you have some questions or if you want to share any thoughts, hit the number one or one button on your phone so that puts you on queue to speak to me directly and I can put you on air. All right? So, anyway, the first thing I did was, well, no, actually, it was one of the last things I did, but I actually just Googled the definition of happiness, and there were a few definitions, depending upon where you looked, but kind of the same flavor is there, and it basically says, and this is just the tip, just the plain dictionary definition. It is good fortune. It's a state of well-being and contentment, joy, and a pleasurable or satisfying experience. Okay, so that's basically the dictionary definition. But everyone's experience with happiness, of course, makes a difference. And you know, and it says that happiness, you know, of course, and this is common sense, but I'll say it anyway, you know, happiness is the thing you want in your life because it just helps you do better. It helps you do better. It helps you be better. Happiness can help you get to your goals. It helps you have better relationships. It helps you make more money, get better jobs. People are just going to like you when you're happy. People are going to want to be around you when you're happy. You know, and you just kind of do better. You have that kind of spring in your step or you're motivated to do stuff. You have the energy. I put a lot of thought into what happiness meant to me because I asked the question on Facebook and I got a lot of responses. And then, you know, I wanted to have my own answer as well. And it was kind of a long answer. I don't know if I'm going to read it later on, towards the end of the show or somewhere in the middle. But I was pretty happy with it. And I wonder if there's things that I still want to add, because I was adding through the day, kind of, oh, yeah, I want to say this. Oh, yeah, happiness is this too. And, oh, yeah, I feel happy when I experience this. So I think the great part of it is when you can actually be able to just look for what makes you happy and then find it. You know, there was some, I was going to save this for later, but I'm going to say it now in case I forget. But I think one of the things that we have to be careful for or with is when we are looking for the happiness to come to us via someone else, right? If I'll be happy if they do this, or I'll be happy if they get me this, or I'll be happy if someone, you know, so basically relying on something else to create the happiness. And I'm speaking specifically, especially if you're in a relationship, as a therapist, and I do a lot of couples counseling, I will hear a lot of things where, you know, people can say, everything is fine if only he will blah, 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 or everything will be fine if only she will spend more time with me, or you know, whatever. The reality is, you know, not everything will be fine, because life is always just filled with stuff that we need to work on or resolve or grow past. But the ones that I see the most frustrated in life is when they want someone else to bring them that happiness. But I wanted to mention this research study. Okay, so the research study basically found that in terms of happiness, 50% of kind of the condition of happiness that we carry within us, or our happy disposition, 50% of it is actually genetic. It's in our genes. We're kind of born with a certain range of happiness, and that's called the genetic set point, or the genetic set range. So it's a set point. Now, where they got that from, I don't know. It was apparently a 75-year study, and they found that 50% can be genetic. You know, I kind of question whether it's genetic or whether it's an environment you grew up in. But I can say that people are born with set personalities, as well as being more fine-tuned or formed as we mature or we develop. But that is, anyway, that's that part. So out of the 100%, 50% is genetic. And the rest of the 50% basically says that 10% of the other 50% is based on circumstances. And that is more of the job, money, health, social status. So that 10% is circumstances. And then the 40% that's left is actually unaccounted for, which means that this can be what we create through our intentions or our intentional behaviors, what we can specifically do to make us happier. So that's great. That was exciting for me to know that, if, you know, however accurate the research study is, that it even shows that we have that 50% can be within our own means. Hold on one second. Okay. So going through more of what they found, we were looking at what can be done to be happier, and or can be done on a regular basis to be happier. And they found that whatever you're doing, we have to try to avoid adapting to it to the point where we don't create any variety, or there's no change. So it's basically saying variety is important. That's where they say that variety is the spice of life. Change is important. There's important that there are some changes. There's a conscious effort in putting some variety in what you're doing. And anything, there's a chemical in the brain called dopamine, or neurotransmitters. And anything that centers around happiness has to do with this chemical, dopamine, or neurotransmitters. And it's a chemical that you need, that everyone needs to experience feelings of pleasure and happiness. So that's the good stuff. That's good stuff chemicals. And unfortunately, as we age, we slowly lose our more dopamine. We slowly lose our transmitters or dopamine. I mean, it just happens. It's natural. It comes just as we age, just as many things and many changes happen in our life because we age. Our organs age. Our processing ages. That's just part of our cycle of life. So as we age, it's more important that we actually do intentional things. We seek out things that will produce more dopamine. And so, you know, one of the things that produces dopamine is physical activities. And that's actually why, you know, I think you've heard me say on the show before, or you've heard from other people, that one of the number one factors that can help with stress, anxiety, and depression is physical activity, exercising, working out. That makes a huge difference. That gets our endorphins going. It actually produces more dopamine. And, you know, so our brain is basically like a muscle. And as you know, muscles need to be worked out. You need to keep the muscles going. There are things to do. There are things to do to work out, you know, our brain, our muscle, and we'll be discussing that as well. But you know, I'm going to go and switch to some of the feedback, because I don't want to just read just the list of feedback all at once. And I really appreciate the people who put in their thoughts. Let me see. I'm going to read a couple of things, and then I'm going to take a call. Oh, I think I know who this call is. I'll save that for in a second. Okay, so Alfonso Portillo, actually, who was our first interviewee on the show, the leader of Los Cochinos band. First he wrote Peace and Love, and then he added, he actually sent this to me today. He said, happiness is acceptance of your situation, no matter how dire it may or may not be, and not to make unrealistic expectations, a first step to peace and happiness. You know, I'm glad that you sent that, Alfonso, because actually we just got a new kid at Royal who was refusing to go to school. They actually warned us that he was going to be extremely oppositional, very difficult to work with, and they didn't think that he would last in any program. And after I interviewed him, I don't even think I was talking to him for about 10 minutes, and one of the things that I saw in him was that he had a very kind of helpless and hopeless energy about him. And it turns out that he has some learning disabilities and some challenges, and has really been affected by people's expectations of him, because they were unrealistic for him. That what we may have, the expectations that we have to make sure that the people that we're dealing with, can actually meet that baseline. And so, where he was being asked to do certain things at school, he was being considered resistant and oppositional and very challenging, and the reality was that he just couldn't do it. So he's been miserable ever since. And actually, in his first 3 days with us at Royal, he has been so ecstatic with feeling very connected, feeling very supported and nurtured. We told him that we just want to let him try certain things and to communicate how he's experiencing it, but that we wouldn't be pushing him to do stuff that was what he felt was too unrealistic. So thank you for sharing that, Alfonso. You know, when we are in positions where things have been expected of us that are unrealistic, and also when we have unrealistic expectations for others, we can be miserable. It can be a very miserable situation. Jose Lupian, who is actually the father and leader of the band Gladiators of Rock, a band actually that I used to manage, he wrote something very sweet. He said, "Happiness for me is being healthy. I had food poisoning about a month ago, and I thought I was going to die. It was very painful, and I never want to feel that again. If I'm healthy, then I can enjoy my wife, kids, and life. If you don't have your health, you can't enjoy happiness." God, that is so true. Thank you, Jose, for sharing that, because last year, I can relate to this so much. Last year, I was hit with quite a few health issues that all hit at the same time, and it was such a dark time, and it all the health, physical issues really impacted me emotionally and mentally. And so, yes, that the health is a very important part. I'm going to take a call. I'm going to take a call real quick. Actually, I'm going to take another call first and come back. Okay, here we go. Let me see. Hi, you're on air. Can you say your name?
Hi, this is Lawrence Power.
I knew it was my Lawrence. Hi, sweetie. How are you, honey?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. Just, you know, how we talked about it yesterday and kind of carried on today with the whole happiness thing. I don't know, like the whole relationship. I feel like I can be happy with myself and like create it for myself, but I feel like there's stages of life as this one I am in that where I'm just kind of ready to settle down, you know, ready to be happy with another. And even though I'm already happy with myself, I'm just trying to figure out how I can even, like, I don't want to force it. I want it to be natural, you know, but I don't know how, what you're supposed to be expecting and what you're supposed to be going through. But I'm just in the dark with it, you know. Last time I was in a relationship was 6 years ago. So, you know, everything's just kind of new. And I don't know, I believe there's other people out there too in the dark, but, you know.
Oh, absolutely, honey, absolutely. You are, so I just want to give a little introduction. Actually, I had encouraged Lawrence to call. Lawrence is very dear to me. He is very special. He actually is my godson. And
yes.
he is, how old are you, darling?
22.
Yes. Real quick, hon, when you say that you're ready to settle down, what do you mean exactly by that?
I want a significant other, you know, like I feel that what I'm looking for, like when I look for, like, you know, in a woman, I feel like I'm looking not just for the traits that I want, not just for the characteristics, not just for the physical, the mental. It's also for that nurturing feeling. Like, I want to take care, and I've also want to be taken care of as well. You know, I have my family, you know, like, that, of course, you and mom and dad and everybody here, you know, that I have. But I kind of want to move on and kind of branch on to, like, other people, you know? Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm looking for and kind of, like, thinking that I'm ready. I might not just be. It just might be just because I'm bored of the single. Like, I don't know, you know?
You know, and this is kind of, you know, continuation of what I was sharing with you yesterday. And
yeah.
in that, you know, sometimes we figure out more of what we want when we actually just kind of have to go through it, right? Because
yeah.
what happens with finding what we want can sometimes come from experiencing things we don't want.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so, and sometimes we can think, this is what I want. This is what I really want. And this is, and I'm sure, you know, there was a time when I was still in, you know, in my fun, young dating years of about 2 years ago. I'm just kidding. No, where I, there was something I was facing in some, and for the longest time I said, I don't want to get into a commitment. I don't want to have a relationship at this point. And I stayed that way for a long time. and then finally I said, you know, I think I'm ready.
Okay.
And someone said to me, well, how ready are you? And I said, they said, because, you know, you vacillate. And I said, well, I am almost completely pretty sure that I am ready to almost completely settle down. And so the reality was I wasn't, right? But
yeah,
there was a
true.
Desire in me that was at least drawing me to that place, right? And like
yeah.
I told you yesterday, it's sometimes the hardest experiences and the hardest relationships that make you very clear in who you are and what you want. And you know, are we afraid of getting hurt? Absolutely, we are afraid of getting hurt. But, you know, we are our strongest, like I told you yesterday, we are our strongest when we can allow ourselves to be vulnerable because we're not afraid. You know, we can be hurt, and we know we can
mm-hmm.
be hurt, but we also know we're strong enough to be able to cope with it, right?
And fight through, yeah.
Yeah,
and
so,
yeah.
you know, with the relationships, being happy in a relationship, you know, this is kind of what I was mentioning earlier, hun, is
yeah.
that, you know, looking for someone to make you happy it's a challenge to find true happiness that way, right?
Sure.
However, there is a truth more in that you got to be careful of getting in relationships with people that bring about more hurt and drama and pain and allowing yourself to go through it over and over and over again, right? Because,
yeah.
you know, arguments and conflicts can be good in a way that helps you learn each other. It helps deepen your connection. It helps you figure out whether you guys are compatible. So that can be the good side of arguments, but not if you are becoming so accustomed or used to being hurt or hurting your partner that
yeah.
it just kind of you stop caring. It doesn't. You become more emotionally detached and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, so there are reasons. And even if you were to look at it from a spiritual perspective, right? Is this person in your life for a reason? And what I always boil things down to is what lessons do you have to learn? And if someone is triggering something in you, then that means that that's a lesson you need to learn, right? And if you're triggering something in her, then that's a lesson she needs to learn. And then you have to figure out whether this relationship or she or, you know, is that much, that important to you to where you're going to, you know, do the work. Because all relationships and even our relationship with ourselves and our pursuit of happiness, it takes work. It's hard work. And anything that is going to be very meaningful requires a lot of work.
It is true.
So what is it that you are happy with in regarding what you're in?
Oh, with me and the girl I'm talking to? I don't know. It's a lot of things. Like, even, like, now I'm sitting here smiling just thinking about her, you know, just, like, how, like, I know that I'm, yeah, like, I know that I'm happy with her. I know that I'm fine. I know that she's the one that I want to settle down with. But just, it's weird because, like you, like we were talking about earlier, you know, like, you're going to go through these trials. You're going to go through these obstacles with each other. But the thing is that, you know, if you guys work on and, like, get better from it, that's how you know, that you guys are learning from this. But I feel like we are, we're learning. So I'm probably the king of impatience. Like, I can't wait on anything, you know? So, like, because we only get 24 hours, you know, we're not promised the next day. So when I know I want something, or if I know that something is supposed to be happening or something's true, like, I give it all. I'm giving it 100. I'm going all in with it, you know, even though if my hand that I'm given, I feel that, like, hey, it's not that strong, but I have faith, you know, I have faith, and I have that will that I will work with whatever I have. And I don't know, it's just, like,
but
I don't
do you
know.
Think that you're giving everything? Say that again, then. What did you say?
Oh, sorry, say it again?
No, what did you just say?
About the giving, about
no,
the giving every.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, like the analogy that I used, or?
No. I was speaking over you right when you were saying your last few sentences, your last sentences.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. So you were saying that you give.
Like, I would say, yeah, I give. Like, but in an intention to show, like, the purpose of why I give, as I'm giving, I don't realize it. But, you know, when I look back, I see that it's an intention to kind of show her that, like, hey, I'm real, you know, I'm here, you know, like, I'm not faking, this is me, you know, I want to be with you, you know, and I know it's hard for her just because, you know, like, you know, of course, you know, people don't think the same, you know, that's why we all go through problems, that's why problems are solved differently, you know, that's why life is not defined, you know, because each person goes through it, you know, through different obstacles, through different, you know, accomplishments. And it's just kind of hard because, like, I know who I am, you know, I know what I can do, but to convince and to show somebody else, you know, is what's, like, kind of, like, the difficult thing for me, I guess. And, like, I don't know, like, big thing is time, you know, like I said before, like, we don't have everyday promise, you know, like, we don't know if tomorrow's going to end. You know,
right.
So the moments that we have now, let's do it. Let's make the most of it. Let's be this life, you know? And that's kind
you
of
know,
what we are.
There's several things that you said that there's two sides to what you say. I think it is important that you recognize that you know yourself, right? And you probably know yourself more than you know, other people, because you're the one that deals with all of your thoughts and feelings. Sometimes we think, oh, I know that person better than they know themselves. But the reality is no one really knows fully what you feel except you, right? Yet in reality, you know, and I've been doing this for a long time, in reality, I think the wiser we become, or I know that the wiser we become,
yes.
We realize we don't know as much as we think we know. And I remember when I was young and I was ready to get married and I, you know, my dad was begging me not to. And and you were my ring bearer, by the way.
Yes.
But, you know, I really thought I knew it all. I knew everything. I had my master's degree. I was in my field. I was in the helping profession. And, you know, each year that passes, I realize I just know far less than what I thought I used to, right? And so there's a balance between having a commitment to trying to stay aware and be and know yourself. And then also be also aware that there may be things about you that they're still yet to discover. One of the things that I see with people, and I see this a lot with males, so please excuse me all the males that are hearing this. This is not any gender attack, but this is just something that I see often, is that especially males who are very driven and very impulsive with stuff, is that, you know, like what I was hearing you say, that there's stuff that you want, you know, you know yourself, and you don't want to waste time, and you know what you feel. There are many of us that feel that way, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, we can feel differently later.
No, it's disagreeing. Like, that's true. Like, yeah, like how, like while you're in the moment, you know, you feel like, oh, this is that, this is right, 100%, 100%. But, you know, when you think about it later, or even like the next feeling, you know, you're just like, wait, what? What just happened? You know, like.
And in relationships, it's one of the biggest gambles, because oftentimes we attribute our happiness to the fulfillment or the experiences or the, you know, the feelings inside that we get from the person that we're with, right? And so sometimes you can hear all the, oh, you're the, and I've heard this thousands of times, well, hundreds of times, you know, from many different of my own experiences of, you know, you're the one, you're the only one I want to be with, you're this, you're that. And I have felt that at times as well. And then sometimes the feelings just, boom, it can change, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sometimes in relationships, especially when you're with someone who is more fearful or anxious or afraid, then what you show and what you say, no matter how hard you're showing or what you're saying, that person may still have the, well, what if he gets tired of me? Or what if he doesn't, what if he doesn't stick around? Or what if he gets what he wants and then he doesn't want it anymore, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes the impatience or the kind of demand, like I want and I need this, and I'm showing you, sometimes all the efforts in the world, it's great and it's a beautiful thing and it's good for you. Sometimes the extra piece that you still need is time.
Okay.
And so.
Okay, I can feel that. I feel that.
Honey, are you listening to the show on the computer as well?
Oh no, sorry, only on my phone. I called.
Okay, because there's a feedback, and usually when that happens, there's a computer on. Anyway, so, you know, time is important, and you know, there's a beauty that you have in the stage in your life right now where, you know, things are still not as new, but it's still new enough, and you have the energy and the strength and the hope to believe or still feel have the ideal thoughts and feelings and belief that, you know, all we have to do is this, and this is what we can have, right? And so, and you're very entrepreneurial. You have a very strong sense of who you are. Even when you don't know who you are, you can say, "This is a hard time for me right now," right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of strength. That's very big in itself. But you know, with the relationship part, when you want, how can I say,
happiness,
I'm just going to wrap this up. What's that? Say that again.
No, I was saying happiness in a relationship. That's kind of what we're.
Yeah, like the happiness in the relationship part is just like I told you yesterday. In order to get through, to get out of your rut or out of what you're dealing with, you have to go through it, right?
Yes, true.
You won't find out. Yeah, you won't find it. And if you don't deal with this stuff now, you're going to deal with it in another way, in another relationship, just a different person, right?
Yeah.
And so what I always say is exhaust your efforts to do what you think is right, to try and figure out and learn. I tell all my clients who come to me for couples counseling, you know, what's going to happen out of this couples counseling, I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know whether you guys are going to stay together or not. But the process, the stuff that you're going to be learning while you're doing your work by coming here or trying to understand each other or learning the tools or learning the skills, that's going to take you far in life regardless, right? And so you have to think of it more of what is this doing for me, right? Okay. How is this making me a better person? And when you are... You know, even like when people say, well, I just, and one of the other things, I'm skipping real quick, but one of the main things that males need to feel in a relationship is that they need to feel successful in knowing that they can make their partner happy.
True.
Right? And I don't know if you feel that you're there or that's still a challenge, because another part of males is that challenges are also important. So either, you know, you're still there despite some conflicts or challenges you're having because, one, you've experienced some success in knowing that you've been part of bringing her some happiness.
Yeah.
And two, she's still somewhat of a challenge to you. Is that right?
Both. Yeah, she's definitely challenging, I would say.
She's what? Definitely
more
what? More frustrating.
I'll say more of a frustrating challenge, but definitely worth it. And definitely the happiness that we do share, which is very frequent, is worth every bit of time that we share together. And I honestly think that I do take that for granted when we do have the time. I definitely do. I realize that.
Good, honey, you said that, because what I was going to say in wrapping this last part up is that it's also very important, and I say this to all the clients, my couples clients that I work with, is that you have to focus on the positives of each other as well, right? That's actually more important, because always remember this, and this is just in life overall, if you look for something wrong, you will always find it. You'll always find it. Just as if you look for something right and you look for something good, you will find that as well. But at the end of the day, you just have to figure out which means more or what is affecting you more. If you're struggling in other parts of your life because of a toxic relationship, then that's, you know, those are the red flags, right? But if you're growing from... you know, what you're in, then, you know, it's never a waste. It's never a waste when you're learning lessons along the way, right? But that takes work.
Sure. It's definitely a way to look at the glass half full on that side.
You know what? I'm so proud of you said that, because actually that's something I was going to mention later. Now I don't have to. You know, being able to look at life as glass half full versus half empty, right? Okay, sweetie, I'm not going to hang you up. I'm just going to put you back in queue. But
that's fine.
Is there anything else that you want to say, or any other thoughts or words of wisdom that you think would be great? Because you really put yourself out there, I always say that, you know, anyone who does that inspires all the listeners. I have over 4,000 listeners now, so that's a very humbling experience as well. So is there anything that you feel that you want to share?
Besides, like, just kind of life in general. I know just what everything I've been through, like, you know, motorcycle accidents, you know, surgeries after surgeries. 24 hours, you know, that's all we get in each day. You know, we got to make the most of it. We got to think positive. We got to definitely look at the positive aspects of life, you know, because the more negative we attract, the more negative we bring ourselves down. the more positive we attract, you know, each other, the more positive people we surround each other with, the more positive aspects we see on life, the more positive things we see in others, we'll definitely, that's how us as a human, you know, kind, as the way we live, the way we feel from each other, I feel that if we just go positive, I know it's hard because I know our society is very negative, you know, it makes a lot of negative easy aspects to, you know, be drawn to us, you know, but if we can just force the positive, and force seeing positive, force being around positive, we definitely be better as people, and we would definitely smile a lot more genuinely, you know, we definitely will enjoy the good things, you know, the necessities, not like the materialistic things of life, but the necessities of life. We would definitely see that a lot better, and that's what I'm trying to work on now, you know, and I'm trying to embed that in people around me, you know, and I've definitely accepted that lifestyle, you know, definitely accepted that lifestyle.
So what makes you happy, hon?
Being thankful, being able to smile, you know, just to live, you know, to continue to learn from others, to teach others, and to, I don't know. I you know, like there's no real definition, I feel like. You just, if you feel good, I feel like that's what really makes me happy, when I feel good, when I'm smiling, you know? Yeah. Definitely the loved ones around me, definitely, I would say that, you know, because I wouldn't have realized that if it wasn't without you guys.
Well, you brought a lot of love and happiness to the people who love you, too, me included.
Thank you.
Okay, darling, I'm going to put you back in queue. You can keep listening. Thank you for sharing that, darling. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me share. I love you.
I love you too, honey.
Okay.
Okay, so that was Lawrence. Thank you very much for having shared that. I am going to bring on another person who's holding, and this is going to be an interesting discussion. Hold on. Here we go. Hi, you're on air, and can you please state who you are? Hello? Hello? Okay, well, that was a very odd thing. I don't know if you can hear or you are on, we have you on queue for requesting, but this is actually my mother. she is not responding, so I'm going to put her back in queue. Mom, I know that there are things you wanted to say and you wanted to express, so if there's a problem with this, you can hang up and then call back, and I'll put you, and I'll take your call. Okay. All right, so Lawrence actually touched on a lot of great things at the end of his call. I'm going to read a couple of other responses. Let me see. Lisa Trujillo, many of you know her, she's very popular and very loved. She writes, happiness is whatever makes you happy. F blank, 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 what other people think. She is very direct with what she wants to say. She writes, happiness is whatever makes you happy, and, you know, who cares what other people think. I responded back to her. I didn't get a response back. And I asked her, okay, that sounds great. That's funny. And what is it that makes you happy? And I didn't hear back. But and that's something that I wanted to point out as well, is that there are many, that most of the time in our life, we want to be happy. We just want to be happy. We keep saying, oh, I just want to be happy. But oftentimes we really don't know what we want or what we need to be happy. other than the external stuff. And that's why I was, and not to say that Lisa doesn't know because she didn't say it or she didn't respond back, but that's why I had asked her the question, what is it that makes you happy? It's important that we can identify not only what it is, but also why. And, you know, much of that works into the other big aspect of happiness, and it's gratitude and appreciation. But we'll come back to that. Okay. Let me see. Okay, so there was other stuff that I found that was really interesting about happiness. And there's something called being in the zone. And and that is something actually that requires doing something that can be very difficult with no specific meaning or no specific need. It's just a challenge, and it will require focus and skill and, you know, a lot of learning and practicing. And there is a great feeling of fulfillment when you start to see things happen. It can feel completely fulfilling when you see things happen and you're doing well. And when you're able to make or know the clear goals, you know what you have to do, and then you accomplish it. Because it brings about a certain sense of control. It helps you forget about your problems while you're doing it. This is like sports or a craft. While you're doing it, it can be very, or learning it, it can be very humbling. It can be, you can lose your ego while you're trying to attain what you're striving for. And actually, people who can experience these things, and it's called the flow, report more incidents or a higher rate of happiness. So it's basically accomplishing something that can be very challenging or difficult, that will require focus and skill, you will learn how to do stuff, you will have goals, you'll be clear with what you need to do, and then you do it, or you figure it out. And so that's one of the things that they brings about happiness. And then there's our beliefs. That's another part. Beliefs where things have been shown that sometimes how we feel about life or how we think we're supposed to feel will affect our happiness. And there are some contradictions, actually, that showed, research studies showed, that people actually can do really good when things go bad. It's just that they sometimes will expect that they're not supposed to do good, or they're not supposed to be, either healing or getting past things. But things show that the ability to respond to adversity is actually very strong. The human spirit, the human drive, is actually very strong. And, you know, the belief that all adversity is bad, research says no, because the key ingredients, I'm not going to say the key ingredients, but, you know, it's important to honor and acknowledge that it is appropriate to have responses to significant negative events, you know, sadness, grief, anger. So that's normal. That's going to happen. But it also shows that people actually get through very difficult times despite how they think they're supposed to feel. As long as they're open to it, if they're going to force themselves to stay low, they're going to stay low. But if they are open to it, there is a surprising rate of getting of growth and healing despite the difficult times. And this is a big part of it. It's because there's no such thing of pleasure without pain. So pain actually can bring about more pleasure afterwards. We have a different level of appreciation. We have learned more. We have acquired a different perspective, a different value or different values. So pain can come with pleasure. And I'm not talking about sexual stuff, although that is a very popular thing as well. But, we learn about happiness through pain. So that's the exciting part of the very dismal part of pain and hurt. But you have to be open to it, right? I was telling my mom actually last night when we were having a very long talk, is that, and I've said this on the show before, you have to either want to or want to want to. And even though you can be struggling with the thoughts of wanting it or believing it can happen, at least want to want to. And be open to that, and that can make a difference. Let me see. I'm going to take another call and then come back to this. Here we go. Hi, you're on the air. Who's speaking? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, but I don't know if you're talking to me or someone else.
No, I'm speaking to you. I have you on cue.
Hi.
Hi. I have you on cue. You wanted to speak to get on the air?
I did, but there was no warning or anything. It was like I was listening to you and then you were talking to me.
Oh, is this who I think it is?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, introduce yourself, my dear.
Hi, my name is Kathy, and Maggie has known me for too long. So I have to watch what I say, otherwise she's got a lot of stuff on me. But anyway, I am just in love with this topic today, so I wanted to call in and be a part of it. You know, of course, I could be silly and stuff, but I just wanted to share, you know, the serious side of it. You know, I feel that happiness starts from within, starts from, you know, number one, which is you. And so if you allow people to treat you to where you're happy, then you're always going to be happy. But if you allow other things, then that's going to get in the way of your happiness.
Yes.
And
yes.
I just feel like, you know, you're giving that power, you know, you have the potential to give someone else control over your own happiness, and that doesn't sit well with me because I work hard, I love hard, and I care a lot about those that are close to me, and I want them to be happy.
Yeah. But do you have a specific, because you said it sounds like it's somewhat of a trigger. Is that?
It's not really a trigger. It's, you know, it's things that you see, or, you know, it's, you see it all around you, right? You
mm-hmm.
see it in the movies, you see it with people you know, you see it with people you don't know. But more importantly, you know, you speak from experience, right? Because
mm-hmm.
how else would we know otherwise? How else are we to identify with those that we're close to or people that we don't even know? But if you feel that someone is unhappy, you know, and you know why they're unhappy, it can become kind of a trigger, right? Especially if you care about them.
Yeah.
And so the automatic thing to feel or to want to do is hurt the person that's hurting them. But obviously that's not going to make you happy. But
this is true.
Right? So, you know, it can be a trigger if, like I said, if someone is, you know someone is going out of their way to make you unhappy, or what they're doing is deliberate, then, you know, obviously that's a trigger. But I don't think that we can blame our unhappiness on anyone but ourselves, right? Just as we really can't give credit for others for making us happy or depend on others to make us happy all the time. It really starts from within and what
yeah,
we allow.
And that's so huge. I mean, that's the first thing you said. That is really the most important part. And, you know, this is countless conversations I've had with countless people of, you know, really needing to find, to be able to find the happiness from within. And if you are in a situation that can be challenging, you know, what is it that you are doing to either create it or allow it, right? I had this very long conversation last night with someone and who can really experience a lot of negative or sad feelings at a very intense level
mm-hmm.
and will always want, you know, the other person to change or will need the other person to be different. And the reality is we cannot change the other person. We only have control over what we do or what we decide to do, right? But even with that, sometimes it takes us going through the experience for us to be clear with what we need to do.
Absolutely.
I mean, how many times have we, and you and I have talked about this, how many times have we we've gone through stuff and we look back on it now stronger and wiser and more mature thinking, wow, we let ourselves go through that?
No, absolutely. Well, you have to learn from it, right? Otherwise, it was kind of a waste of time, effort, and energy.
Sure.
But, you know, like you mentioned flow earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually read a book called Johnny Bunko, and they kind of touch on flow. And it's one of those things that's kind of like in the back of people's minds, and they kind of know what it means, and they have their own meaning of it. And, you know, they have their own levels of flow. And it's
mm-hmm.
almost like if you allow someone to get to you or to make you unhappy or to control that part of you, it's almost like you're giving them your flow.
Yeah, I'm so glad
whatever.
You're saying this, because someone is listening that I was speaking to last night for a very long period of time that actually needs to hear this. So,
yeah.
And she knows who I'm talking about. So this is great that you're saying this, because it's very much validating the important parts. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it was just a trip that you had mentioned flow, because I actually read a couple of books about flow. And, you know, it like I said, it means different things. It's slang or, you know, or things like that. But it really is like your absolute, you know, you can almost say tantric level to be. It's almost like this is where you always want to be. Mm-hmm. But you can't always attain that, right? It's a constant work. And, you know, so why would you allow someone else to take that from you when you're working, you're constantly working hard to get there, and then someone just snatches it from you because you allow it?
Now, are there times that you feel, that you have recognized that you recognize later on how unhappy you were, but didn't know how unhappy you were at the time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, that's it. Go ahead.
You know, I look back and I think, wow, this is, you know, and I mentioned this to you before. I look back on old journals. I have, like, notebooks and notebooks of old journals. And I sit there and I think, wow, how did I allow this to happen? How did I let, you know, blah, 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 get me to stay at this level when, you know, I've achieved so much more and while I was working for so much more? But, mm-hmm. you know, I settled and I thought that, you know, if this person could just change, if I could just show him how things should be and how it is to love or how it is to love yourself, then maybe, just maybe, I could be that person, mm-hmm. change him, and then he could be happy and we could be both happy together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, what do they say? 2020 is hindsight, right? So
right. You look back and everything is clear.
Right. And it, you know, and it was, you know, somewhere around that time where I realized, wait, you know, you can't make everybody happy. You're only responsible for making yourself happy. And then, you know, hopefully you project that energy, and people feed on it.
And that's an important part that you're saying, that you project that energy, right?
Yeah.
Because you know, the energy that we project also helps create the kind of life we live, right? The positive,
attract,
loving,
right?
Energy. What's that?
And that we attract.
The positive, loving energy versus the miserable, negative, judgmental, bitter energy. It's hard to be around that energy. And it's hard to have that energy or be in that. And, you know, we're all human, so we'll all go through that at times.
Yep.
Life will do that to us. Our experiences will do that to us. But it's important that we catch it, right? And we don't allow ourselves to stay there. You know, one of the things I was going to be mentioning, and it's so important that we can truly appreciate. Lawrence earlier said something like, you know, he's grateful for being able to appreciate stuff. And that's huge. That's something I was even going to, I was telling Ruby. So Ruby and Kathy are my besties. And, you know, we are calling each other, well, I call them the other stooges. And so, you know, I was thinking about this weekend, and okay, we went to lunch at the Lobster Shack, a place we've talked about for a couple of years, and we spent a lot of money, and we had the money to actually go there and taste the stuff that we've been wanting. But you know, the true happiness that I was totally experiencing was us just sitting at this cafe for an ungodly amount of 6 hours, and there was just nurturing and laughter and questioning and supporting. There was just so much of that. And to me, that was one of the most beautiful things that, you know, brought me happiness for the week.
And to me, that was flow. We were totally flowing.
That was flow.
The whole
right.
day.
Right.
The whole day.
Yeah. You know, I posted, oh, we went to Lobster Shack, and I posted that on Facebook. But I was so speechless with how happy and how content and fulfilling that it was afterwards when we went to the Redwood City place and just sat there and talked that we didn't even Ruby said, I can't believe we were there that long.
Yeah.
But that was, we were in the state of happiness and satisfaction and contentment. And, you know, and it's important that we don't take those things for granted.
Right.
I think that when people find themselves constantly complaining about so many things, that they're missing things that can create happiness that's totally free, right, or so wonderful. I mean, these are things that I think we could think back on, you know, when in our old age and think, yeah, remember when we sat there for 6 hours and we were just, I mean, we were talking about really stupid stuff.
No, we weren't talking about good stuff. Good,
we were talking about good stuff, really good stuff, of course, and important stuff. But some really stupid stuff as well. And we crack up, and we tend to do that where we go. So, you know, anyway, this is going to a whole different thing. But my point is that being able to really appreciate and continue to contribute to those moments, right? To be a part of creating more of those happy times, happy feelings, and appreciating it and not taking it for granted.
Right. Well, and then, you know, like you said, we've all been through it, right? I've been at a stage, you know, many years ago, thank God, where it was easier for me to be miserable because it was too hard to work at being happiness or at being happy. And then you get a taste of what it's supposed to be like and, you know, how rewarding it is, the hard work and the constant, you know, or the people that you surround yourself with, the constant nurturing and the constant encouragement, you know, and then it's not so hard. That's when it becomes,
yeah, right,
you know, like, wow, this isn't so bad. This is actually pretty good. And then that's when it, you know, when you look back and you say, wow, how did I allow myself to be that miserable? That wasn't easy. It just felt easy because I was already on the bottom and, you know, I couldn't lift myself up. But that's when you surround yourself with people that do love you and that care about you and know your worth, you know, just automatically where you don't have to prove anything to them. They just know it.
Right.
And
you know, and that is, again, kind of piggybacking on a couple of things we mentioned on it of you know, happiness from the pain, right? Understanding,
yes,
and knowing happiness from the pain. But, okay, Kat, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I'm not going to, you're still going to stay on cue.
Yes.
So you can listen. So thank you for sharing that. That was very, very,
yeah,
profound. Thank you.
All right. Love you.
All right.
Okay.
Love you too. And I have the other bestie that is on cue. I think these girls are excited. The fam and friends are excited with this topic. So I'm going to bring Ruby online, 1 second. Hi, you're on the show. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
You are on the show. What's up?
I'm nervous. I feel like you're this big celebrity, and I'm meeting you for the very first time.
No, I'm just kidding. You're the one I always tell when I'm nervous to, so. So thank you for calling in. I'm so surprised.
Sure.
So what
I know,
would
I thought
like...
I'd round out the team.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Make it a complete session.
Did you, were you able to hear much of what Cappy was saying as well? And also we were talking about, you know, this weekend and being able to appreciate even just that, right? didn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've listened from the beginning. So I heard my son also, which is very enlightening. Was glad that he called in and you guys had the discussion you did. I think there's a lot of people that feel the same way. So.
Right, yeah. You know, and I think we've felt that way as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Through those kind of things.
Right, and I'm 40 plus.
Wow, you said it.
I know. Okay, I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
Not exactly a comment, because I think, you know, all of us, especially, you know, our core family, our core circle of friends, very familiar with what happiness is, and we play a big part in helping each other be happy. I think, like Kathy mentioned, it's important for us to identify with ourselves that we are responsible for our happiness, but I think also as human beings, we play a part in making each other happy, right?
Right.
We do it all the time.
That's interdependence. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So
right.
I have a question for you more than a comment.
Okay.
When we come across people that try to project that they are happy, we see this on Facebook all the time, right?
Yeah.
This person is enjoying life. Everything is a bed of roses. Everything's beautiful. They're so happy. There isn't anything that could possibly go wrong. Their life is perfect. When we see those types of examples of people that are trying to portray this false happiness, to what degree is it our role to help them in their happiness and being real with their happiness? Is it our role? Do we play a part in that at all? Do we just let them kind of live their life and live this kind of facade, even though maybe a good amount of people know that, you know, there's probably not a whole lot of truth to that, and allow them to just kind of carry on? Or do we have a responsibility to say, you know, really, you should be real with yourself and kind of take it down a couple notches and really be true to what makes you happy, or else you're always going to be living in this facade?
Right, right. You know, I think that immediately two things come to mind. One, it really kind of depends on the type of relationship you have with that person,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are they that significant in your life that you would want to contribute towards something positive or something healthy or some growth, right?
Right.
You know, the other part of it is, what are your own values? Because this is a value call, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether you believe it is your duty to do that with people that you care about, or whether you feel your value is, if it's not your business and they're not asking you, then, you know, you have no right, right? So, again, it kind of depends on, you know, your relationship, the type of relationship, or the kind of care you have with that person, and then the value you have. And, you know, I am often in the role where, because of my own values of trying to be honest with myself and others, I will always want, I often say, it's important that you say what you need to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just how you say it, and it's also the timing, right? And so, because even though we take that intention, or we have the intention to be supportive or helpful to that person because we care about that person,
yes,
doesn't mean it's going to be received in the way we intended. Right.
I think more times than not, it won't be received in the way that we intended.
Absolutely. And that's where also kind of the timing. What's that?
Yeah, timing is a, yes, right.
The timing and also how you say it. Because it's also important that if someone is portraying that kind of life or trying to, you know, live, create this facade or whatever, then most likely that person has a pattern of intense denial. Deep denial or a tendency to kind of avoid the the realities or be, you know, kind of front through life, right? And so when you come to a person who is at that place, then, you
the
know, they shoot the messenger.
Life.
What's that?
The place being fronting through life.
Yes.
Creating this, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, there's a couple things that can happen. One, you know, aside from saying, no, there's nothing wrong, or no, you don't know what you're talking about, and even rationalizing and defending themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can also they shoot the messenger as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
can turn on you. They can even do some vengeful stuff or try to, you know, whatever. But what I often see is that when it's said, definitely when someone is hitting rock bottom or when they are struggling and they've come to a place where they say, why is life like this? Why is it this hard? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's usually
mm-hmm.
a time to intercept. Right? That's usually a time to swoop in. Or, you know, and I have been in this position many, 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 many times where people have opened up to me when they weren't intending on telling me stuff or sharing something about themselves. You know, that can happen when someone feels that you genuinely care and you're not judging them, right? And as a therapist, and I even train this, I say this to my staff, is I like to use the word we a lot, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've gone, you know, we have gone through this, or we all, blah, 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 because it takes away from that, you're wrong, I'm right. You're wrong, everyone is wrong. Right, or you're bad, I'm good. You know what I mean? When in
right.
reality, we all have our imperfections and we all have our own journey and we all have the stuff that we need to work on and we all have certain veils of denial, some more than others.
Right.
Some get deeper in because they just kind of keep creating more of a facade in their life and they keep avoiding problems. But you know, it's important that, you know, if you have the discussion with them, that they absolutely know that you're not judging them, that you care, and that you're expressing this because, you know, it comes from a good place. And what I think is important that we also put out, you know, what the positives are. Like, an example would be something like, you know, I've seen this and I just don't think that, well, it's challenging to see because, you know, you've always been this great blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet
mm-hmm.
there's another part of it that I feel can take away from that greatness or from all that good stuff because, you know, there seems to be something that is, and then you say the, you know, negative.
Right.
Does that make sense? Because
right.
I don't know
yeah.
what specifically to say. But, and, you know, like Kathy said earlier, like when I asked her, have there been times that you didn't realize you were unhappy till later?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when people are in denial or so focused on avoiding the issues, it's a very confusing state. Life is very confusing. They don't know what real happiness it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know
mm-hmm.
what, they really don't understand it because they probably never really truly felt a true fulfilling happiness. You know, not
right.
the fleeting moments, not the stimulating moments, not the pleasurable, you know, stuff, not the achieving, you know, material wealth at the moment, but the true intrinsic happiness, like, I'm good. Like, I think I recently told you, I said, you know, Boob, I'm good. I'm good right now. And I love it when I can get to that place. But you know, that's also coming from a place where it was hard last year with the health, with, you know, losses with Royal, with having to accept certain things. And, but sometimes we don't realize how happy we can be until we go through the harder times and also we're true to ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes people just don't realize it until until they're there.
Right.
Sometimes they just have to get there.
But a big indicator right. is peace of mind, right? When you're...
But what if... Yes, let me just interrupt something real quick because I want you to think about this with your question you're going to ask. What if someone has never fully, truly experienced peace of mind?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in life that have kind of gone through hurt and traumas throughout their childhood and growing into adulthood, that's their baseline.
Mm.
That's where they function from.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So one may not know what peace of mind is like.
Sure.
Unless... they start to hit rock bottom, and then they start to lift out of it later. And that's when they know, oh, this is what it's like.
So it almost seems as though that's probably the most ideal time to be that honest with someone who is creating this facade in their life and projecting that they're happy and everything is perfect. That when they come to realize that maybe, you know, things aren't so perfect and they're open for feedback is the time where you provide it.
Yeah, that's one of the most effective times. The other part is we plant the seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I work with gangs, I work with people who have gone through significant pain and traumas in their life and don't believe that they can ever be happy, or they don't know what healthy living or emotionally healthy living is. And so sometimes we just plant the seed. And I always tell the kids that we work with at Royal, you know, my hope is that whatever I tell you plants the seed enough for you to get it at some point, whether it's after 5 minutes or whether it's in 10, 20 years.
Right.
Right. Because I know seeds have been planted in me and, you know, things are still blossoming.
Sure. Right.
Right. So the seed planting can come from, if you want to do it in a nurturing way, in an effective way, you know, you say what you need to say, you be honest, you tell them what you see. And but you let them know that you're bringing it up because you really truly care,
right?
Versus someone who just if someone is just tired of someone else and they can't stand them and they're irritated and they just want to tell them off, right? That is not effective.
Probably not the best place to come from. Yeah.
Yeah, because when people get backed into a corner, they just kind of come out. Punching, right? And they won't take anything in. And you're really good at that. I mean, that's stuff that I have learned how to balance some of my stuff in stuff that I've gotten from you, in that, you know, because with me it was so much of needing to address everything and right away and, you know, confront stuff. And you know, I learned a lot of stuff from you in terms of, I mean, we kind of balance each other on those aspects, right? Because we came from different extremes. And that kind of having some more patience and allowing people to kind of do their stuff first. Right? And not having to feel like you have to get involved. You know, unless they come, right? And I have that, that's kind of my rule, is that I don't want to get involved unless someone asks me for what I think. And then even from that point, then I vary my involvement.
Okay.
Right? Whether it's
we might be switching roles then.
which we do.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you. I love that you brought
this
up. That's great because, you know, we kind of went on a different angle from it, but that's an important thing in that we look at people who kind of front through life as being happy, as being all together, as being, you know, kind of this perfect lifestyle, when reality there's always a lot going on. And the more I see the perfection, you know, it usually makes me question how real that is. But then it's not my business, right? It's not my business, then I don't get involved. But I know for you specifically, when something hits you that hard, because you couldn't have the mentality of live and let live, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when something is pretty significant, that's when you make a move. So
yeah, and I was looking through the lens of just assisting someone with their happiness. So that's kind of the reason why I brought it up.
Sure, and that comes from a good place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your time.
For anyone who wonders, I often will bring up my best friend during the show. This is her. We've been best friends.
Hello. Hello, world. Hello, everyone.
Sometimes we're each other's alter egos, but it's a great balance. Okay, Boob, I love you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling
in. Love you, too.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so that was Ruby, and I want to make sure that I cover a few other things. I'm going to go through the responses of people because I really want to make sure that people hear this as well. Frank Guzman, wonderful guy, had said, I really pushed him to answer this question, and he came through big time. He wrote, "I'm still seeking true happiness on my newest chapter in my life. No longer seeking it through another person, place, or thing, looking to my higher power to make me more spiritually fit, looking for happiness within myself, trusting in God to let His will be done, not my will. My will screws everything up. learning to cast my cares and trust in Him. My new key word is hope, and living with peace, love, and hope." Beautiful. Thank you, Frank. I'm going to read my two baby sisters' responses. I love how my baby sisters are so supportive and active. So my sister Joanna writes, and this is the one that is in San Diego and about to have the baby. So, baby, if you hear me, I can't wait. Joanna writes, "Happiness can also be satisfaction. Satisfaction with everything, not necessarily just sexually, but satisfaction with life, relationships, friendships, family, status in life and career. Not having the what ifs or regrets, just simply accepting what cannot be changed or altered in any way and being thankful for what you have, not coveting what we don't have." What a wise little sister I have. Thank you very much. And, you know, this kind of is true to how she can be. She can accept things that she can't change, and she can be patient with things like that more than others. And then my other baby sister, Chen, also known as Varinia, she wrote, "Connecting, the opportunity to make a positive impact while I'm still here
in the hope of reconnecting with those who have gone ahead when that time comes. And cookie dough. Definitely cookie dough. This is my baby sister that I raised, bringing her to work and paying her with Mrs. Field's cookies at the end of the day. So I think I have attributed to this warped mentality of cookie dough, but it's okay because she's gorgeous and she can have all the cookie dough she wants and still be happy. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you for sending that in. And yes, connecting is a big part of happiness. I'm going to touch on that later. Julie Hogan Isola writes, freedom from fear. And that is huge. Living in fear, not having freedom, that is definitely the enemy of happiness. Gail Barbeau Juarez writes, living in God's path, he's a light unto my feet. When I fill my heart with Christ, there is no better feeling in the world. He's guided me this far in life and has blessed me with a beautiful family and all the happiness I have. Thank you, Gail. Greg Giles, someone very dear to me as well, he writes, what happiness means for him is the objective of life. When we're young, we think our lives will last forever. But as the years go by, I've accepted that my time here is limited. Why spend what time we have doing anything other than pursuing the moments and real relationships that give life its real meaning and joy? Yes, that's great. I know many hedonists that also have that perspective, but the important part of here is we talk about the real meaning and joy. Andrea Medakovic writes, love, because to me, true fulfillment comes from being with a partner in life, body, mind, and spirit. There was a wonderful response from someone, very respectable professional in the community that is definitely dedicated to contributing to a better society. And his name is Spencer Sykes. And I love what he wrote. He wrote, knowing no matter, so the question is, what does happiness mean to them and why? And he wrote, knowing no matter how hard and unfair life may seem, something good is going to come of it. Why? One can never gain meaningful perspective in good times. Simply stated, because we are not a proactive society. For the most part, we purchase security systems after the break-in or feeling violated. We come together as a bipartisan community where race does not matter only after hurricanes, tornadoes, and other natural disasters. We live during a time where banks can get away, robbing the American people of billions of dollars, and no one is held accountable or goes to jail. Our value system is broken when four lives are lost in Benghazi, and folks want to impeach the first black president, however, ignored the fact that there was a white president that took us to war based on lies, and 4,000 plus lives were lost. Why do I believe something good has to come of this? Here are a few reasons. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Cesar Chavez, or Cesar Chavez, Gandhi, Rosa Parks, and countless others who have paved our way with their blood and wisdom. Their sacrifices would be meaningless if their seeds were not planted on fertile soil. In summary, faith and hope are the glue which keeps me moving forward as I now hold the torch for my family. Moreover, my children need much more substance than cable or reality TV can ever provide. Until we come together as a people, I give thanks to our ancestors and the Creator for their protection. Mother Earth for the sustenance she provides, and my father, may he rest in peace, for modeling a behavior I'm so very proud to carry over to the next generation. Beautiful, Spencer. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I want to, you know, I'm going to try and bullet point these last few notes. Last week, my mom complained that as much as she loved Chris Phillips' interview, she said, I didn't hear the usual lessons that you outline during your show. What I wanted to hear it in a more formal way, and I didn't hear that. So, okay, Mom, here you go. Here are the other notes that I had on happiness. Settle values and happiness. Society says to make a lot of money will make you happy. So actually now we're twice as wealthy from 50 years ago. Where we're at now, our wealth is twice as much from 50 years ago. Yet research shows people aren't any happier than from those times. So although we have twice the wealth, twice the material from 50 years ago, there is no change of happiness from that time. So it indicates, obviously, that money cannot fully buy happiness. Now, there is a difference. I want to be very respectful and point out that everyone does need their basic needs met. There's a hierarchical of needs that we all have, and that's food, clothing, housing. So, but the reality is that once we have those basic needs met, there isn't as much more beyond that that can truly create true happiness. It doesn't make a huge difference. Now, there is a big difference between someone who makes $5,000 a year versus someone who makes $50,000 a year. Yes, so that makes a big difference because that also, you know, plays into basic needs and stuff and struggling, right? But research shows that there is really not much of a difference with happiness with someone who makes $50,000 a year and $500,000 a year. And because the concept is that the more you have, the more you want. The more you have, the more you want materially. There's something called the hedonic, or is it hedonic treadmill, coming from hedonism. The hedonic treadmill basically is, you know, whatever level of goods or material wealth you have, you end up getting used to it, you adapt to it, and then you always want more. So when you adapt to those kind of things, the hedonism adaptation is another main enemy of true happiness. So wanting more, then getting used to it, and then wanting more again. And this is in terms of material wealth or goods. That's a significant part. There's a difference between something called the extrinsic goals and intrinsic goals. And the extrinsic goals is basically focused on the external. Those are rewards or getting stuff or getting praised, things from the outside, money, success, image, appearance, status, popularity, anything that comes from the outside. The intrinsic goals are, it's kind of the psychological stuff, the things within. You know, personal growth, being able to be who you are, close personal relationships, a community feeling, wanting to help the world be a better place. And the extrinsic goals and the intrinsic goals are complete opposite from each other. They're in total opposition with each other. And what is shown is that more focus on the external goals, where people are oriented more towards the status, money, image, actually are far less satisfied in life. There is more depression. There's more anxiety. They feel less vital. They feel less energized in day-to-day life. They're not as motivated. So that's the focus for those who have more focus on external goals. The intrinsic goals, it was found that people are more happy, satisfied, there's less depression, there's less anxiety, less stress. So, you know, your values will be a huge part of happiness. And it was interesting in this clip, they showed this research, which is an international happiness research, and they found that in Japan was found to be the least happiest of industrial nations. You know, they have, because of the war and the destruction, there's been a lot of focus on material and economic stability and development. And so because that has been a major focus, that's the energy there, there is actually a word that they have created that is a very real word. It's a real lifestyle. It's called karoshi. And it is basically people who have worked themselves to death, or they are working themselves to death. They are high stress, high anxiety, lack of fulfillment, unrealistic amount of work hours. They're working beyond what their body can bring them. And so, you know, there are even groups of families of karoshi victims because it's a very real predicament in Japan. And then on the other side, they also showed a country called Bhutan, and this is also in Asia. And Bhutan shifted their focus from how they have been functioning, from their pursuit of economic development to the gross national product to gross national happiness. And I thought this was amazing, that there is a country that actually has made this their goal. They found that, you know, trying to pursue economic development, they've lost their culture, they've lost their identity, they've lost their ability to find fulfillment and happiness. So there are compromises. They don't have fast, great cars. They don't have as much clothes. They don't have the technology. And they've recognized that material things bring feelings of pleasure, but not true happiness. And so what they do try in how they conduct their lives is focus on things from a spiritual or holistic and rational perspective. You know, they look at what is it that will be more fulfilling, and they have found, since they have shifted, that the citizens of their country actually are reporting longer and happier lives. And then they focused on what studies have shown, that the happiest country on earth is Denmark. They have shown that there's social equality and high standard of living, there's free college, free health care for everyone, and that everyone really is about a community and sharing. And there are things there called co-housing communities, where people live in smaller spaces, but they share in efforts, they share in responsibilities. So there is just that sense of community and being taking care of the allowing college and healthcare be an automatic right. That's a concept. You know, spirituality and religion can make a big difference with happiness, but it's also important that you know that just because you are religious or you say that you want to be spiritual, that you recognize the difference between fulfillment and happiness versus judgment and anger. So it shows that, you know, people who have compassion and spiritual feelings that feel very connected to others and the universe, that is a high level of happiness. For those who come from a very judgmental, angry, condemnation place, and there are some religions that really focus on that, obviously happiness is not the primary feeling you're going to be experiencing there. And so, you know, studies show that people have compassion, people who have joy, well, joy that comes from connection with others, and that's something that my one of my baby sisters had mentioned earlier. She wrote connection. Joy can come from connection with others, connecting. And actually, you know, connection and cooperation also creates more dopamine. And dopamine, those kind of feelings, feels just as good as taking a drug that affects dopamine. So cooperation, connection, joining, that's huge. Let's see. There was another study that showed Richard Davidson that said that people who do a specific form of meditation on compassion and loving kindness can increase their happiness levels to a greater extent and for longer periods of life, even than people who are on strong psychiatric medication. And I would much rather go through that route than putting the chemicals in my body that can actually create more chemical imbalances at times. There are things that we can do that can actually change the growth structure of our brain. We can change our brain. And it's like we were talking about earlier in being able to work out our brain as if it's a muscle, right? And here are some of the stuff. Counting your blessings on a regular basis. Studies have shown that people who do that are happier people. I do that myself. I ask my staff to do that. I assign my clients to do that. I'll do that. I'll give them that as homework. I'll ask them to write the things that they can be grateful for every night or in the morning. And then we've added the extra element that I found in the book called The Magic. And not only writing 10 things of what you appreciated for the day, but why you appreciated. And that, it's much harder than I realized, but it made the biggest difference. And I really felt the restructuring in my own brain from that. So counting blessings on a regular basis, acts of kindness. Acts of kindness is one of the most effective ways of creating more joy and happiness and fulfillment. Gratitude, compassion, caring, love, spiritual emotions, those are all things that are connected to increased happiness. Having the experience of being able to be more beyond yourself or having feelings for others or things beyond just yourself versus me, 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 I want this, it's all about me. Your focus can be about what you want for others or what you want better in the world. You know, wanting or considering a well-being that's bigger than yourself, right? You know, being authentically you, you know, and wanting and actually doing things that can make your life better, other people's lives better, and the world a better place. That was a big part of what happiness was for me. And I think I'm going to end it on that note. But this is important too. Think of happiness as a skill, not as something that you're entitled to or that is just supposed to happen. It's something that you have to work at and refine and put focus on, just like learning how to play, you know, sports or developing a craft. Think of happiness as that. Create more meaningful things in your life, appreciating what you have, playing, having fun, new experiences, appreciating and cultivating great relationships with your friends and family. And you know, and my godson said this earlier, or the theme of it, you know, the more happiness or positive you have, the more you will attract. And the more you're that way, the more other people can have, but kind of just by being exposed to that more. I'm going to end this show on what I wrote for myself, and it might kind of be cut off here and there because I kept adding to it, but I wrote, my experience of happiness is love, 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 feeling loved and giving love, and having a sense of peace, an ability to enjoy and be grateful for my experience or state of being. And that's big for me, having the ability to enjoy and be grateful. Laughing, feeling balanced, able to manage my stress or moods, feeling spiritually connected to people and things who or that are important to me. Seeing and witnessing beauty in the things that people do and are. Exploring and experiencing what interests, stimulates, and moves me, and having the mental capacity and energy to do it. Being able to recognize and appreciate beauty overall, positive stimulation spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically, not desperately needing or wanting more than what I already have, having relationships with people who are mutually loving, supportive, respectful, nurturing, loyal, trusting, and considerate, being proud of who I am, having the integrity and commitment to be honest, being honest with myself and others, and the freedom to exercise certain rights or explore my vision, curiosity, or desires. And knowing that my existence and efforts are significant, effective, and effective. Someone very dear to me said that to me today before the show. And being able to contribute to the world that I live in, knowing that I have the ability to create what I hope for and want and need for myself, those I love, and the world I live in. And with that, I send you all love and blessings for a beautiful week ahead. Thank you for being a part of our show. Please feel free to contact me if you desire or you have any questions, and hope to connect with you again. I will connect with you again next week. All right. Have a beautiful week.